Hi, you're listening to the My Body, My Story podcast.
So discompassionate towards myself, just really I had pretty low self-esteem, I think. And so just really having to learn compassion, I think, would have been the best thing I could have ever done for myself.
This is the 45 over 45 chapter where we celebrate rule breakers and role models, the women who inspire us to live life our way and to show their sensuality, beauty, soul, and true essence. Here, we talk about what it's like to be 45 plus, adjusting to the changes that come with time, and we listen to the stories of our participants. If you have an interesting story, we'd love for you to participate. You can email us at info@alexandrawalker.com. That's Alexandra spelt with a K-S. Or visit our website, alexandrawalker.com.
Hi, Trin. Welcome to our studio and welcome to our project. And while you're sitting in the makeup chair and Nicole is doing makeup for you, I'll be asking you a few questions. And tell us a bit about yourself.
Where do I start? I live by myself by the beach, about 100 metres away from the beach, which is really lovely. And my partner lives in Melbourne. So we've been together for 2 years and we have a successful long distance relationship. Has its challenges. But he's got two teenage daughters who live down there. And we've both got very independent lives, so it works really, really well. So we see each other probably once a month or once every couple of weeks or something. What else?
My question would be, how did you manage during the lockdown?
I know, we were a COVID relationship. We met at the very beginning of the very first outbreak, the very first COVID lockdown. That's the week that we met. We had to race apart to go to our homes, and because we'd been in a tantra workshop together for a week.
Oh wow!
I know, and that's how we met basically. And so everything was locking down. Everyone was buying tins of tomato and bread and toilet paper. So we parted, and then we managed to survive. There were ways we were being able to cross the border because Victoria and New South Wales had border openings for a long time. And then there were other ways. because he came across as an essential worker at one point as well. So that worked. And we always found ways. So we would still be able to see each other. Probably the longest we've been apart would be about 2-3 months. But we talk every day on Skype or...
That's not too long, because I've been apart with my husband for 9 months.
Oh, wow.
When it happened, so he's stuck at WA.
WA is a bit worse. It's much
9 months, he couldn't exit. Oh. He could, but then he couldn't go back to work.
So. Oh, wow. Yeah, 9 months is a lot longer. That would definitely,
but
I think.
We survived.
Sorry?
We survived.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, if you've been together for a long time, whereas Simon and I, we only just met. But we would spend long periods together, which was very interesting as well. So it was like we'd just met, and then we'd spend all these like weeks together. And so it was a very interesting beginning. So we've had a very interesting relationship. I think I'd been married for 15 years before that, and I left my husband in 2018. So. Yeah, that was challenging. I met my partner Simon 2 years after. And it's been beautiful. It's been a real big journey of learning and really, really understanding relationships and love. Like, I think I never really got it when I was married. Mm-hmm. And I dived into a new relationship going, I really want to be different. I really want to understand love and relationships this time. So it's been a really massive transformational journey, this particular relationship. So
what do you think changed what was the biggest difference?
I did not want to repeat what I did in my marriage, and it was a really difficult decision to end my marriage, because I was really, we loved each other, we were really good friends, and but I was deeply unhappy inside, and I knew I had to do something drastic to change it, and we were both unhappy. And so I'm going to cry in a minute. But I had to do something really drastic to end the relationship, to marry, to really find happiness. And I can honestly say it was a good decision, just based on we were locked in our emotional patterns that we didn't even know we could change. And so I was determined not to have that happen again. So
how old you were when you decided to divorce?
How old am I now? I'm 49 now, so 46?
So after 45, it's the...
change.
Important decisions usually comes after...
Yeah, you're probably hearing all of that
reach
too.
45.
45 and you're like, right... Well, I didn't want to die unhappy, I'm sorry to say.
Yeah,
I didn't want to die an unhappy person.
Exactly. I think that's where we start thinking, okay, we don't have much time left in our prime age.
Yeah.
Getting...
Oh, absolutely. Exactly. I had all these attractions to all these other males and all these possibilities. And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm coming to the end of my era.
I don't want to lose it.
Exactly. And to be honest, I've actually discovered sexuality like in my 40s, my late 40s. As I said, I met my current partner in a tantra. It was a week-long tantra festival. I've gone to a few since ending my relationship, because I just wanted to explore that area and just really understand sexuality. So I feel like I've just completely opened up a whole world of that I never had before. I think I lived a very conservative life before that, and so that really opened my eyes and totally changed me.
Were you born in Australia?
Or? Yeah, I was born in Wagga Wagga country.
It's near the Hunter Valley.
It's down towards Canberra way, past Canberra.
Okay, other way. Okay.
Yeah, in between Wagga and Melbourne. Actually, that's where we met. I mean, not met, we would meet up halfway.
Oh, that's nice.
We would stay in Wagga Wagga, which is quite funny, which is where I was born and grew up.
And what do you do in life?
So, yeah, I'm a psychological therapist.
Oh, wow.
So, and so transformation is my thing. And so I walk the talk. Talk the walk? Walk the talk. And... so all the things that I have really, so this is where my passion comes in.
Yeah,
as well.
So that's the question, what are you most passionate about?
Yeah, absolutely. Transformation, consciousness, and psychology. And helping others to transform. So, I've been practicing meditation now for 25 years and it's through one particular teacher, and I haven't changed it. And through that meditation school, I also learned a meditation-based therapy, and that's what sent me on my journey.
So you have your own business, your practice?
Yes, private practice.
So if someone wants to find you, where they can find you?
Yeah. So people come to see me through... they get referrals through GPs and under a mental health care plan. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I've been practicing in this field for 15 years. It was a 15-year journey to finally get into my private practice.
Oh, yes, I can understand that.
Yeah, and I'm finally here. Yes, in the last 2 years, it all happened at once. I met my new partner and I got my private practice running. But I'd been working in lots of organisations before that. And so I specialise in trauma and relationships.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, because it's been such a massive journey, and I've done so much research, and I bring it into all my sessions with all my clients as well, with relationship therapy. And yeah, so
the main subject of your the clients or patients come to you is about the relation.
Most people come to see me for whatever concerns they have, which might be anxiety, depression, relationships, any mental health condition, but I see absolutely everything through a trauma lens. So I work at a level of trauma, regardless of if it was just something small where they fell over and hurt their knee, or, you know, right through to major traumas. I work with, and I use a particular style of therapy that's it works for every condition that comes through the door. So it's somatic based. I don't know if you've heard of somatic experiencing. It's somatic means body.
Somatic,
yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so traditional styles of psychology.
Psychosomatic, yeah.
Yeah, psychosomatic. Traditional styles used to be just talk therapy, just talking from the head. But to really transform emotional blockages, it's really body-based, and then it's using the brain, the mind as well. So you may or not, you may, I might be teaching you stuff you already know.
I have a master in psychology.
Sorry?
My first master in psychology. Ah.
Yeah, so I was trained in all the mind-based, you know, CBT and all those styles of therapy that work with changing the mind. Mm-hmm. But I've switched now to body-based, and so working with the body changes the brain.
Yeah, and I believe in that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And so this style of therapy I'm working with, I'm up to advanced level, is called somatic experiencing, and it's this. Peter Levine was the man. He wrote this book called Waking the Tiger. It's kind of well known. Yeah. So I'm trained in that. And I am just an absolute convert. Like, I'm just absolutely amazed with the effects, because I have to actually have the therapy myself. And so I've changed just by in the training, and just having, because you have to, as I said, you have to undertake it. So it's very profound. So,
I think it's the hardest thing is to learn to understand your body and body signals. And it's like nobody teach us, our generation, how to do it. And I think the result of that is all that cancers and other illnesses and depressions
ulcers,
and everything.
Yeah, absolutely. All these body. A lot of people have immune disorders because of trauma.
Yeah.
And so when someone comes through and they're saying, I've got immune disorders, I'm like, have you experienced any trauma in your life? And they, yes, absolutely. There's always been some domestic violence or sexual assault or something. So I generally work a lot with domestic violence, sexual assault and relationships, but
I think the hardest case, and where you didn't experience any visible trauma or any obvious trauma like that, and you think that everything was okay with you, and then you start going through the therapy and you're discovering that there were some events, you know, which looks not that traumatic from the first sight, but then they appear to be the cause of all your problems.
Absolutely. Yeah, and you start to see all your coping mechanisms, basically. And they turn out to be unhealthy coping mechanisms. So, but they worked. They worked. So
So it was your specialty from the beginning, or you changed yours?
Trauma was always. My first job when I finished my counselling degree in 2009 was, well, actually I started working in drug and alcohol as a drug and alcohol counsellor. Or AOD counsellor, alcohol and other drugs counsellor.
Oh, it's a tough job.
Yeah, and I loved it. I my first job was in a drug and alcohol rehab facility and a residential with women. And so I became absolutely, it was like, that's my 15-year journey right there. Is like I went, right, I want to work in trauma and specialise in trauma. And because I just saw all the effects.
So everyone knows that with age we change, but what positive changes have you experienced so far?
So far?
With age.
Yeah. I feel so much more, I just feel so deeply happy in myself. Like, and I don't know if it's because of the work I've done on myself or whether it's probably both. So I feel much more, I feel really comfortable in myself. And I was talking to my friend yesterday and she was having some challenges and she said she was going through a period and she's feeling like unstable or just really like in a real transition phase. And my other friend was saying, yeah, me too. It must be everyone. I said, no, I feel like a rock right now. I've never felt like so much like a rock ever in my life. And so it's like I feel all these changes I've made, like ending my marriage, getting finally in my private practice, which was like there were like 15, 20-year projects. I feel like I'm finally through the hard yards, a lot of facing challenging things and real sadness. And I've had depression and everything like that in my past life. So I feel like, I've put the hard yards in and now I can finally say I'm actually happy.
And what is the biggest challenge at the moment?
Oh, at the moment, believe it or not, I broke my tooth and now I've got to go and have an implant. And I think that happens when you get older. Like
you start falling apart.
I've had an implant before. I think that's my biggest challenge. I feel like everything else I'm kind of embracing along the way. Like if no one likes me for my wrinkles or my body or my shape or my whatever, I've gone through enough that I'm very happy to be alone.
You don't worry about that much.
No. Even if my partner ever said anything, I'm like, well, you know how I feel about it. I'm very happy to be alone.
Yeah. And where do you think this idea of perfect body image comes from?
I think it comes from obviously media, movies, men. Porn. I've had clients come to me and they want to be like, they feel in competition with porn. Like these are young girls and they're like, I can't compete with these porn stars. I'm like, what are these? Anyway, and social media. I don't know if you've heard about the social media, what is it, what they call it? Phenomenon, how after the COVID and everyone's moved to Zoom and online, there became a huge influx of people getting work done on their faces and teeth done and everything because we spend 80% looking at ourselves.
Oh my God. I haven't heard
I turn my video off now. I can't stand it because I'm so distracted at seeing myself. It's that kind of psychological curiosity. It's like, oh, what do I look like? How do I look, you know? But it's really distracting. So people have started becoming quite, obsessed with themselves. And it is, again, obsessed but curious, and then they start judging. So my dentist actually told me that.
It's interesting.
Got an influx of people coming to get their teeth worked on. But I've actually heard outside of that about the 80% of distraction of looking at yourself in things. So, yeah.
But I found the positive side of that phenomenon that you make an effort. If you don't go too far away, because me as a photographer, I photographed many women and, of course, my lens see more than the human eye, so I can see all the plastic surgery scars and everything. And sometimes I wonder why the young girls, they need it, which they look perfect as they are.
But
on the other hand, the positive side of looking at yourself, but I'm thinking, I should probably like put my hair up, you know, dress up, not go over the top, but look after myself as well, because I'm on the camera, I'm communicating. Because when I'm sitting like this, I don't see myself. But when I see myself in the on the screen, I'm thinking, maybe it's time to go and do my hair or something like that, you know?
Yeah,
when it's
absolutely.
Not over the top.
Well, I'm one of those people. I got my teeth fixed up because it wasn't huge when I was thinking to do, what do you call it, crowns across there.
You just suddenly see how other people see you, like at least visually.
Yeah, totally. And it's different on a camera versus what you're seeing. I don't know what it is, but I always feel it's different when you look through a photo versus what you see in the mirror. It feels different to me.
It's different, yeah.
Yeah, it's like...
Because photo, you can zoom in, and with a human eye, you don't come that close to human skin, and you don't see all the folds. But what women do, they go to this zoom mirror, you know, like magnify, and then they look at themselves, and of course they will find a lot of things, you know, but human eye don't see that. So basically with this magnified mirror, you see what photographer sees, you know, when they zoom the picture. But when I retouch, for example, I always retouch to the extent of the human eye. So that if human eye cannot see that, I will remove this spot.
Yeah.
That's the rule.
I do that. Okay, got it. Uh-huh.
Yeah. But it's interesting. It's interesting you mentioned the Zoom phenomenon.
Yeah.
So what does it mean for you to feel good and look good? What comes first?
Yeah, you know, it's really funny. I wanted to be all special and think, to feel good and look good, I usually feel good when I've done internal things. I've eaten well, I've gone and done exercise, I swim. But I actually, I do like to dress up and I do like to make myself look good. And I just sometimes feel like it'd be good to see how someone else could do it for me, or which is kind of why I'm here. So I do have that little bit of vain aspect.
Which is totally normal. We all have. Otherwise, we wouldn't be women. Yeah.
Well, I've had to teach my partner how to dress. Like he wears drabby colors, and it brings his, you know, color down. And I've really changed his style, and because I can't even sit on the couch and not look. Like, okay, I may not have makeup on, but I know that what I know, this is really bizarre, isn't it? But I know that it looks okay. If someone came around, I wouldn't be ashamed. Not that I'm dressed up or anything. It's just, I don't know what it is. What is that? Anyway.
I think it's just looking after yourself. As like
proud, being proud of
like
style or something.
Who said that dress like... imagine that you hit by the car and the police
and the ambulance come in.
Yeah, and how do you want to look? So they discover you.
Do you want to wear your stained UGG boots?
Underpants with holes.
Okay, I've got stained UGG boots. I'm actually okay with
them. So somebody was asking me, like, I love lingerie. And someone was like, why are you wearing it? Nobody sees that. I know that underneath. I feel more confident, and at least.
I've had clients who've gone and put their favorite underwear to make them feel confident during the day. It's like, okay, cool. If that's what you need, then absolutely.
And what makes you feel the most beautiful?
Absolutely. Like I said, to be honest, when I'm shining on the inside, that's when I feel the most beautiful, when I'm feeling content. And but then also, that's it's kind of a difficult question for me. I don't know why, but I feel like it's... I feel like when I'm actually really deeply happy in myself, and also, and I feel like that matches something outside. Like my partner actually said to me, you've gotten more beautiful as you've gotten older. And I wondered if that's because I've changed inside myself. And And I was never really deeply happy. So I kind of feel like now I'm starting to bring out what I feel is in the, on the inside. I don't know, maybe I'm feeling a bit vain saying that.
I think it's again from the...
feel a bit embarrassed, a bit, you know. I've never really thought of it, but that's what my partner said. So
I think he's right, because again, from the photographer perspective, when I photograph people, and the more they relax, the more beautiful they look in the picture. So, and you cannot do anything, like once they strained, you know, or not relax, you know, I need to wait until the muscles will relax, you know. It's all to do with body language as well. So and once they relax, immediately you get the very beautiful pictures, because it's genuine smile, it's not made up.
It's genuine.
And if you said with age you feel more comfortable within yourself, then obviously you start looking better.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, your eyes start to, I mean, I'm not saying about me, but people's eyes would shine more, and I don't know. It just, something lifts in their spirit, so something would lift in their, you know, just outside as well somehow.
And what would you say you were your greatest accomplishment?
I'd definitely have to say it was my 15-year journey of getting finally into private practice. It was my goal right from 2006. I was like, I could see my end journey, end goal, and I knew it was going to be a long journey of making real strategic steps of getting there and choosing that organisation, or doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And, and so I feel very proud of myself to finally be here.
And if you could go back in time and meet your 30-year-old self, what advice would you give her?
Gosh, you know, I really, that was a hard one. It was like, be kind to myself. I always cry when I think that. I was so harsh on myself. Hopefully this is waterproof makeup. I was so discompassionate towards myself, just really... I had pretty low self-esteem, I think. And so just really having to learn compassion, I think, would have been the best thing I could have ever done for myself.
Mm.
But I think that was just part of the journey. It was...
Yeah.
I don't think, even if I went back... I mean, because you know to be compassionate, but even if I went back and told myself, I probably still wouldn't understand it, you know? So it took the journey to get there. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And what would you say to other women who are younger and eventually will reach this age? And what advice would you give them or say to them?
I think the same that I would give myself, be just very compassionate. Just don't. Just make sure you live in accordance with what you want and in alignment with your truth.
Mm-hmm.
And finding your truth first and living by that, not by society, not by society's expectations. I think that was a big influencer on me growing up. So, you know, not having to live by what society projects onto us or expects.
The question is how to find yourself. That's the...
Exactly, that's the thing, yeah. So it's easier said than done.
And my last question, and my favorite one, do you have any favorite quote or saying about being a woman?
I don't know, I was thinking I don't. Well, the one that I keep thinking about is there's... I don't know if it was, I just saw it on a Facebook meme a long time ago. It was somebody sliding into the grave. When you die, you're going to come sliding in with a glass of champagne in one hand and chocolate in the other and say, what a ride. Not really, like, and not having to worry it's about the journey. Something like that.
Enjoyable journey. Yeah.
Enjoy your journey and just come sliding in sideways with a glass of champagne in one hand and chocolate in the other and say, what a ride. I don't drink or anything, but anyway, but I still like that saying.
Excellent. Thank you, Trin. Thank you very much for sharing and joining our project. I hope you will enjoy the rest of the day and your photo shoot.
Thank you.
Welcome again to the project.
Thanks very much.
If you have an interesting story, we'd love for you to participate. You can email us at info@alexandrawalker.com. That's Alexandra spelt with a K-S. Or visit our website, alexandrawalker.com.